Hi, I'm Terry Snowden. Welcome to the Forever Mancunians series here on the Forever Manchester podcast platform. In each episode, we bring you an interesting and inspirational conversation with local people doing extraordinary things in our communities. Formed in 2000 by June Kelly, Abraham Moss Warriors is a multicultural club focusing on sport and other activities for families in the Cheetham and Crumsall areas of North Manchester to access and enjoy, and catering for members of all abilities from all backgrounds. And I'm delighted to say hello and welcome to the founder of Abraham Moss Warriors, June Kelly. Hello.
Hi, Terry. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you. Now, I gather it's been both a great adventure and a bit of a journey. So where did it all start and why did you start it?
That's a good question. So we started, like you said, in 2000. I was working at the local school and some of the children wanted to carry on doing sport outside of school. And because I live in the community, so I actually had children that live on our street where I live. And they used to like knock on the door and say, my mum says I can't go to the park on my own, but I can go with you, miss. And it's like, okay. So then we started, you know, running a football session for an hour a week, and they told their friends who told their friends, and before we knew it, it became from one day to 2 days to 3 days, and then eventually 7 days a week, and we just kind of evolved. I worked at the local school for 29 years as a sports teacher and behaviour support. Okay. So the children knew me through school. And then, obviously, I ran all the school sports teams. So the first group of children that we had, they were about to go off to high school and to go to different high schools.
Got you.
And they wanted to stay together and play. So they just kind of stayed. So we had a group of 12 children the first year. And then up to September this year, we've got 452 children.
How many?
452 from 12.
You're up to 452 children a week?
Yeah, a week.
Blimey, Charlie. Was football the rage? Was that the main sport?
Everything. So football, cricket, basketball, dodgeball, rounders, tennis, you know, just a variety of sports, really, swimming. We just did a variety of sports, but the children decided they wanted to carry on playing football outside of school. And there wasn't any clubs in the area. You know, there's no outdoor sports clubs. There was a lot of antisocial behaviour going on in the area, so there wasn't anything positive for the kids to do outside of school. So we decided to let's set this up for one group, and like I said, you know, they just told their friends, and the club just escalated, really.
That's fantastic. Well, tell me about what's the makeup of the community of Crumsall. And
obviously, it's a very diverse community. So currently, we have young people and families from 49 different cultures and nationalities. So yeah, we're a real mix, to be fair. But it's great. It's really nice because we learn a bit about everybody else's, you know, faith and religions. It's nice. We all celebrate all the different festivals. It's really nice, you know. So no festival gets any more prominence than anything else, you know what I mean? So sometimes if there's only one child that celebrates that, or if there's 50 children, we try and spend, you know, the same amount of time learning a little bit about all the different festivals and different cultures. It's really nice. You know, growing up, if somebody said I was going to go on and I was going to, you know, play football with Prince William at Buckingham Palace, I was going to meet the Queen, I was going to get an MBE in the Pride of Britain, I would have laughed and thought, no chance. And I think it's about, you know, I always try to instill into the young people, have a dream and believe that you can achieve anything in life. So
I recently read, and I think you always get asked to tell this story, but I think it's a fantastic story to tell. You took on the FA and won. What was all that about?
I did. So, like I said, it goes back a long time now, 20 years now. So it goes back to 2003. It's a little bit random, really. So we were playing football, and I'd literally just won National Coach of the Year and just been presented with it at the England match the night before.
Say that again. You've been...
I'd won National Coach of the Year, okay?
And you were presented with that at the England match?
England match at Old Trafford. So we got presented this award, and the following day I'd gone to the league, and that we were playing in, which is the Baron Radcliffe League at the time, and asked for time off for Ramadan because half the team were fasting, under 12 team, and half the team were fasting for Ramadan. And we'd had it off the year before, no problems. So anyway, we'd gone in, and like I said, the league had bigged us up about how great it was, about winning this award and how proud they are to have me as part of, you know, the league. And then we got told, but unfortunately, your time off for Ramadan has been declined. And it's like, pardon? You know, I thought maybe I'd heard wrong, and it's like, because the rule book says only time off for Easter and Christmas, it was only for Christian holidays, because that's what was in the rule book. And it's like, well, but that's not fair. you know, it's about quality and that's kind of not fair. So I went to the FA in the morning, we appealed the decision and we lost because there was two people from Manchester and three from Lancashire FA and we lost the vote. So we appealed that and we lost the vote for that too on the appeal because okay. There was nothing in the handbook. They stuck to what the league had done, followed the handbook like they meant to do. So I said, well, then we need to change the rules. So I decided to take on the National FA. It took 15 months and it was the first national rule change in 51 years. And now over 100,000, probably even more now to be fair, but more than 100,000 people have now had the opportunity to play football and not be penalised because of the religious observance, whether it's Holy Communion, Chinese New Year, you know, and any, you know, Ramadan, whatever it happens to be, teams are allowed time off and not to be penalised.
June Kelly, International National Coach of the Year and Change Maker.
I feel really proud. Like I said, it's not something I set out to do. But, you know, people kept on saying, you know, why does it matter? Why does it matter to you? You know what I mean? Because, you know, you're not a Muslim or anything like that. I said, it's not about whatever faith I am. It's about being fair. Why should a child be punished just because they want to follow a certain religion? You know what I mean? Why is that fair? You know what I mean? So it was really difficult. I'm not going to, you know, lie and say it was really easy to do because actually it wasn't. Like I said, it took 15 months and it was very difficult to get into leagues because people would say, well, if you're going to challenge the National FA, what about if a decision that you don't like against us? I said it was never about that. It was never about we disagreeing with the decision. It was about children being penalised because they were fasting. And yeah. Like I said, it's not fair. You wouldn't, even as an adult, you know, you wouldn't have to fast, or you're not having water, not even having water. If you're getting food, but not even having water from say 7 o'clock in the morning till like 9 o'clock at night, and then expect to run around for an hour and a half, and you know, and give you your all and play football, because that's not good for your physical health. And that's what it was about. You know what I mean? It was, well, we were only asking for these games to be put back later on in the day, so the children could have a drink of water when they finished.
Did it involve lawyers?
No.
Just a straightforward argument.
Basically, lots of having backwards and forwards, and lots of meetings, and yeah. And so on, but like I said, it took 15 months.
But the end result was a first rule change in 50 odd years.
And there's never been one since. So it's the first rule change by a grassroots club in 51 years, and there's never been another one since.
Fantastic. Now, today, June, Abraham Moss Warriors is also about much more than sport. And although the primary focus has always been, and I think still is, football as far as sporting activities go, yeah. The engagement of other people has extended to include other activities. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so obviously football is always going to be the carrot to pull the majority of young people in. But yeah, we do cycling, cricket, basketball, tennis, swimming, water sports, holiday programmes. But one of the things that we're really proud of is we do a science programme. And I've got to be honest, I'm not really into science, if I'm being totally honest.
You do a science programme?
We do a science programme. So we do maths and English tuition, but we do a science programme. So I got approached by NASA. Somebody phoned me up and says, how would you like NASA to come and visit? Now I'm thinking, it's school holidays, and I'm thinking, who's NASA? Now, obviously, I've heard of the astronauts, but we're a football team in Manchester, you know, summer holidays, and I'm thinking, who's NASA? And it's like, the astronauts, it's like, yes, if the astronauts are really going to want to come and see our club. And apparently they were filming at Media City and they wanted to meet a group of kids. It was school holidays. We had just won Manchester Club of the Year again, so they thought it would be good to meet us. And I'm thinking, I don't even like science. And I'm thinking, well, okay, it's one day. We were doing a football camp anyway. I thought, let's do it for one day. And it was amazing. I've got to be honest, it was really amazing. They told us about this program called Mission X, Train to be an Astronaut. So it's an online international program with like 30 different countries that take part in it.
Okay.
And we're quite competitive, you know, a sports team, you know, like, so I thought, well, okay, we'll try. And it's mixed in between sport, maths, nutrition and English. And they have all these different assignments and they're all set in different languages. So NASA, you know, put the mission out and you have to do it. And it was great because we have so many nationalities. It meant it was in different languages. So it made it really good that our kids could access it in the home language, which don't really get the opportunity to do. So we thought, let's try and be first in Manchester. Well, we ended up going on to be first in the world. And the kids got to go over and meet astronaut Tim Peake. A week after he came back from the International Space Station in Cologne, at the European Space Agency, they got to go and train with him over in Cologne.
Get out.
No, I swear up. And then, like I said, we ended up Skyping with NASA every 2 weeks with Mission Control. The kids have even wrote their own missions for this programme.
And what did NASA think of all this?
They think the kids are great. And like I said, now science is part of our weekly activities. at the moment. So yeah, we do a massive big science program. So a lot of our kids are behind at school. You know, they're behind with maths, English and science in particular. And it's science is something that they don't really enjoy, but now it's become fun and we're kind of learning about it. So yeah, we do a massive thing on there. And then, like I said, we're trying to do lots of social action within, which, you know, it's an area where there isn't very much going on for the kids or positive things going on. So we're trying to get them to be proud of where they live. And during lockdown, I guess the park where we used it, it was a football pitch, and that's all it was. It was a football pitch in an area where the local drug dealers used to hang out, and that was it. It wasn't a nice place to go. It wasn't a family-orientated park that people would hang out.
Just clarify for me. So you're the first community group stroke project in the world to have worked with NASA?
Not the first group to work with NASA. We actually won the actual competition. So they put on this... is called Mission X Train to be an Astronaut.
Right.
Okay. And then what happens is if they post missions, you complete them and they give you points against all these different countries. And we came first, not just in Manchester, which is what we were targeting for, but first in the whole of the world.
I'm with you now. Fantastic.
Yeah. So a massive, massive opportunity. And yeah, so the kids have been carrying it. We still do it. We still do the programme now. But now we help to write the missions for NASA.
Fantastic. Now then, you've just alluded to it, but you got heavily involved in transforming the local park.
Yeah, so like I said, it came down as part of COVID. Like I said, people had to go somewhere that they could go for a walk in a green space. There isn't much green spaces in Cheetham Hill. So a park, which is where the football pitch was, we decided to let's try and make it a bit nicer. So we were chatting to people and they were saying there wasn't a single flower or plant or anything. It was literally two football pitches and then 8 foot high nettles and weeds all around that perimeter and then grey metal steel fencing. And that was it. That was the park.
Really?
That was it. It wasn't in a park. It was called playing field. And that was it. Okay, so we've completely transformed it. So in the last 2 years, there's now over 4,000 plants. There's 16 picnic tables. There's an in nature area. We've put an allotment in, an orchard. We've got a teenage swing and play area. We've started putting in an outdoor gym with more stuff still to come. And it's been completely transformed. We've had over 90 volunteers from the community get involved. And it recently entered in the Northwestern Bloom and got level 5 gold outstanding. And this is all done by footballers and the parents. You know,
so all done by the local community?
Everyone. Everybody that, you know, lives close to the park. And it's been really nice because we've got a few nursing homes who the back of their building backs onto the park who never come into the park. But then they've seen all these flowers. We put flowers outside as well to make it attractive. And it stopped all the fly tipping because we used to have loads of fly tipping outside. It stopped it all. And like I said, the number of visitors, particularly from a nursing home, they actually bring them in now and actually they can tend to the plants. You know, we've made raised beds so that they can reach them if they're in wheelchairs and stuff so that they can access the planted areas, and it's beautiful. It's really nice, and the best of all is we've transformed it. We've even renamed it now. The mayor came down to rename it, so it's now called Smedley Community Park, a park for the community by the community.
Here's what we're doing: we work with NASA, we pick up all these awards, we win all these leagues, we take on the FA. Take that. Now, the impact of COVID, the impact of the cost of living crisis, I guess the cost of living crisis impacts not only on families and homes and houses and running homes, but obviously on running clubs and their activities. And has it had an impact on you guys?
Oh, a massive impact. So let's kind of go back to... Even let's go back to before pre-COVID, to be fair. So, you know, because of organisations like Forever Manchester, you guys have always helped us. So I think for the past 20 years... We've had funding for Forever Manchester, you know, and we're genuinely grateful that, you know, they've watched us on our journey grow from being a really small organisation where we were applying for £500 and £1,000 to then. And it's really weird because for the first 10, 12 years, nobody really wanted to fund us because, you know, we're based in Cheetham Hill and they would say, you know, particularly sponsors, and say, what are we going to get out of it? You know what I mean? People are not going to buy our GART articles, so we don't want to sponsor the kits because there's no point and stuff like that. And then once we got the MB and the Pride of Britain and all of a sudden everybody wanted to sponsor us. We got help from yourselves, like I said, all the way through there. But like I said, you know, it'd be £1,000 and then £2,000 and £5,000 and then £10,000. Then, you know, then we were applying for like £100,000 and then we started getting bigger pots of funding. So all of a sudden we transformed from being a small community group into a massive family hub. So like I said, we started off as like I said, mainly football and just working with these kids. And then after the rule change, everything kind of exploded. We got so many kids that came in, and, you know, parents wanted their kids to get involved in a club like ours. And then came the multi-sport. So what we found was the kids were getting fitter and fitter, but then the parents and siblings were getting less fit because they were just standing there doing nothing. So we decided to put on family sessions for the children and siblings to do at the same time as when the child wasn't doing football. And then that's how it expanded into the multi-sports. And then COVID hit. So things were just going really, really well. And then COVID comes along, and then all of a sudden we're into a complete lockdown. And we were realising that our families don't have books at home. A lot of them, they didn't have tablets. Or internet access, you know, to be able to communicate. They couldn't leave the houses, and, you know, they had very little games or anything. And that's, again, when you guys stepped in and gave us an emergency grant, and it made us be able to buy emergency packs for home. So we ended up doing packs with the word searches and stuff in, books and board games in particular, family board games like chess, draughts, Monopoly, things they could play that they'd never played before. And then we'd rotate them around, so we had three metal cabins that we used at Smedley Park, you know, to store our things in. So I remember we'd come, and I was shielding, so I was like stuck at home. Amazon became my new best friend. Like I said, they were here every day, like doing all these kind of deliveries, and I'd leave them at the end of the drive, unpack everything, put them in the house. Parents would then come along in the little groups and take them for their street. So that we teamed people up into groups of about six or seven, and each week a different family would come, and they would put them out to those six or seven same families. And then we'd come and collect them in the week. They'd bring the stuff back. They'd go into our middle cabin so that it would be isolated for a week and not have any germs on them and be sanitised down. And then we'd take the things out for the third cabin, and we'd keep rotating it around. So every week they got different games to play with. So there was something there, and it all came through. And we're still using it as a toy library now. So we still have the stuff now. So after COVID's happened, the things come back in, and the children can take different toys. They can just go and have a look in the cupboard and take games home to play for the week. So it's had a lasting impact on us, really, because of, you know, like, you know, it might only seem like a little bit of money to you guys, but it made a massive difference to us.
That's fantastic. Listen, you were telling me earlier, and I was quite surprised. One, you're an asthma sufferer, which is, I suppose, being a physical education and spending your life in physical education helps massively.
Yeah.
But you also told me before, and it made me smile and chuckle inside, you were actually, when you were young, you were the quietest, shyest person in the world. How has this fantastic speaker grown out of this?
To be honest, like, yeah, I was saying before, I didn't know you were going to bring that up, but thank you. I was saying, yeah, I was a bit like Jekyll and Hyde. So I was a natural leader on the sports field and very good at sport and confident. And then I'd go back into the classroom. Although I was very bright, I was very shy. Didn't really want to kind of speak. I didn't like to speak in front of people. If there were strangers there, I even hid under the table at my own 12th birthday party. I was that shy. But then I found the power of sport, how it can bring out that confidence. And that's what we're trying to instill in all the young people we have now. And that's where we come to the biggest problem that we really have at the moment, which is due to the cost of living. So we only used to charge £2.50 a week, which is not a lot. You know what I mean? You know, compared to most places. And that includes getting the kids to matches. You know, they don't pay extra. We hire many buses to get the kids there because a lot of them don't have cars. Like, over 90% of our membership are below the poverty line, even though it's only about 30% normally, that, you know, nationally it's what the average. But we target the children who can't afford your traditional club. That's what makes us kind of different. You know, we don't have trials to come in. We literally target, if your parents can't really afford to take you to somewhere else, we tend to take them to us. But everything's gone up. So like I said, all the fees have gone up. All the cost of the building's gone up. The cost of the minibus has gone up. The cost of food, because we give them breakfast or dinner or whatever, it's all gone up. But we've had to reduce the fees because we know that parents can't afford it. And they were having to choose between heating or food or sending them to sport. And sport is awfully, although it's important, that comes last in the funding order. So we had to reduce to £1. So our fees have gone up, you know, the income's going down and the grants are drying up. So we've really kind of struggled, and, you know, we had to get rid of 240 children in September. So we had to go down from 452 down to 212. But really, we want to bring back those 240 children, because sport has a massive impact on their lives. It's not about just taking part in the sport. It's learning teamwork. It's learning about being responsible for themselves, about self-discipline and having good health and keeping fit and healthy. You know what I mean? Keeping out of gangs and antisocial behaviour. Sport is just a carrot to get them in. But once they're in there, it's the social skills. And I think because of COVID in particular, so many children were isolated, you know, not in school and not being able to access all of those lessons because of the lack of the internet. And they need that kind of outlet where they can just go and just be a child and just mix with other kids and have fun. Forever Manchester have been there. And also a group called Sported. supported, helped lots of sports organisations, because they're not just us that are in this boat. There's lots of groups up and down the country that are in the same sort of position. So if there are any sports groups out there that think, actually, I'm struggling, I might be going under, you know, just Google Sported, and they help free of charge. So they help you set up business plans, help you do grants and stuff. So they've been helping us as well behind the scenes. So anything that they can do to help.
Brilliant. Finally, you have been honoured, as we mentioned, with an MBE. You've been recognised with the Pride of Britain Award. How do you see the future panning out for Abraham Moss Warriors?
If I'm being totally honest, at the moment, a little bit nervous about whether or not we can keep going. I'm hoping that we've got a lot of grants, applied for. I'm hoping we can get some of these grants, just kind of get through this two-year storm, really, of this cost of living crisis. Hope things will then even itself out a little bit, and then we can go back to being the best that we can be in the community. You know, we're not going to give up. You know, we're doing everything we possibly can to make sure that these children are in a safe, happy place. But, I mean, we're having to give them coats. We're having to give them shoes, you know, and stuff like that, because the parents just can't afford, not all of them, obviously, but because lots of the parents can't afford. It's them sort of things. So we're hoping that things will go from strength to strength, and who knows what the future kind of holds. But we're hopeful we'll still be going in the next year or two. But thanks, and hopefully Forever Manchester will continue to support us.
June, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you.
Thank you too. Coming in and being our guest.
And good luck for the rest of your shows going forward.
And
it's
good
been
luck,
great.
And good luck to you guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Forever Mancunians. If you like the show, please follow us in your podcast app. And if you have time, leave us a review. To find out how you could work with Forever Manchester, show your support, receive a newsletter, or make a donation, check out ForeverManchester.com.